Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. You know the deal. Talk to people doing big things. They're sharing their stories, how they use their voice for good. And one of the guests that we have in studio today, it's tough to introduce you, man. You got Grammys. You got acting credits. Entrepreneur. Philanthropy. Now on tour doing comedy. T.I. Clifford Harris joins us
What's up, studio.
Man? How you doing, man? Thanks for coming in.
I'm chilling, man. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We normally kind of go through sequentially somebody's life and talk about their stories and their experiences.
Okay.
But I was intrigued because with all the stuff you're doing, now you're doing comedy.
Yeah.
So I feel like I want to start there and then we can go back and figure out how you get to that. I mean, it's a simple question. With that level of success, why? Like, why do comedy?
I think it's refreshing. There's a level of peace that I found, you know, in sharing the challenge of my adversities with the rest of the world and just finding something to grow and evolve at this stage in my career.
Is it hard? Is it fun?
Yeah, it's all of those things. It's difficult. I think there's a definite, it's probably one of the most difficult skill sets that you can acquire.
Okay.
To channel laughter, immediate laughter, live on stage with a room full of strangers is probably one of the most difficult things that you could do.
We were talking before you came in the studio about whether or not the level of success you had makes it a higher bar for people. It's like when Michael Jordan goes to play baseball. People already look at that person as excellent in something.
Yeah.
Did it make the bar that much harder for you when you decided to do it?
I have no idea. I don't think I gave it any level of consideration. I just went out there, man, and shared parts of my life with the world that I don't think that they got out of my music. And I think that I found, like I said, a level of peace in it. And I think they found, you know, a different level of candor. You know, that has made for a great time for a lot of people, and so that shows across the country.
The Helium in Philadelphia,
yeah,
traveling around.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your first show in Philadelphia,
right.
So you've been on stage.
Yeah,
was it everything that you expected? Was it eye opening?
I had a great time. I think that you know, I never get the shock and awe out of the faces of people. Or the eyes of people in music the way I do in comedy. It's like they just can't they can't believe that they're witnessing the experience. You know what I mean? Especially when they find themselves laughing, they kind of forget who I am for a minute, you know?
Okay.
It's you should check it out.
I mean, I've seen some of the stuff online.
Yeah,
I'm going to check you out in person.
Online doesn't do it any justice.
Okay, why?
I think a stand-up company, for the most part, is a live experience. Laughter is infectious, you know what I'm saying? So to be in a room full of laughter, experiencing something in real time is much different than watching it afterwards.
One of the things I saw online, you start doing it, you're watching the show. There are laughs. The crowd's all participating. And at some point, there's some people who come at you with the, come on, man, you're a rapper. You're a performer. You're an actor. You're not a comedian. How do you handle the critics? Is it different than doing the acting and hip-hop?
I think, to be honest with you, in life, I think everybody's going to always have people that expect them to stay in this box that they fit them in. So I think you have a conscious decision to make for yourself. Are you going to allow somebody to place you in a position and keep you there? Or are you going to grow with all the gifts and all the strengths that God has given you, and you're gonna reach your full potential and do the work that's necessary to, you know, get to a place where you want to be instead of just accepting what people will allow you to be?
It's interesting you say that, because we had Master P was on with us. And Master P was talking about he's selling Snoopaloop cereal and all the other stuff he's doing as a businessman. Jazzy Jeff came in and was talking about 50-year anniversary of hip hop, and we're gonna talk about 20 trap music. But he was talking about people aren't as open to hip hop artists branching off into all of these other things that they are with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else wants to do it, but hip hop artists often get painted into that picture. or into that corner. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? Was that kind of breaking it down and going, I'm going to do me?
I never ever thought about it. I never really took the validation of others and held it in much high regard, man. I always just did whatever the universe put in my spirit was the right thing to do, and aligned my purpose with you know, the steps that I feel God has ordained for me. I don't think that with others' opinions of me, that it doesn't really move my needle one way or another.
You pointed out that comedy lets you be open, talking about things in a way that you couldn't in mm-hmm. other ways. But throughout your life, you've been pretty open mm-hmm. about the things that you've done, things you've experienced, the things that you wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, why the need to share even more? Is it empowerment?
It's cheaper than therapy. I think, you know, there's, like I said, a level of peace, man. It's a level of peace that comes with, for one, evolving to a place where you can be candid about your spiritual journey, mm-hmm. about the lessons you've learned and the things that you've, the tools that you've acquired on the way, the epiphanies you've reached, the perspectives you've gained, and the level of consciousness that you've made it to on the road. You know, I think that all of those things, man, they kind of offer you a freedom. You know, and I enjoy it.
What don't we know? You said they're opening up. I feel like we know about your journey. You got into this, no, not comedy. When did you start doing the comedy? It hasn't even been a year.
Yeah, it has. It's been about 89 weeks. Right. January 12th, 2022.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got into this relatively new. Mm-hmm. How'd you get into the journey of hip-hop, entertainment, acting, going way back to your childhood?
Man, I say about 8 years old. I began writing raps in class to occupy my mind when I had finished work before the rest of the class, keep myself, you know, out of trouble. And you know, my classmates began to challenge me to write more and more and more out of disbelief, you know, that I could actually do it. And the cafeteria table was my first stage. You know, that was like, you know, the place where I kind of showcased my talent first.
Yeah, and it just grew from there?
Not very much, but it did grow a little, you know what I'm saying? Just a little bit.
Your career has grown,
just,
man.
Just a little bit, yeah. You know, I've been fortunate. I've been blessed to do what I love for a living for 20 plus years now. And, it's definitely been a ride.
So talk about that. It's the 50th anniversary of hip-hop, mm-hmm. and everybody's talking about that. But you kind of launched the subgenre of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people weren't talking about trap music. It didn't even exist before. What's today? Today is the 19th.
Today is, yeah, the 19th.
So today is 20.
Today is the actual anniversary of trap music. And, today the 18th.
Don't matter. This is
recorded.
Oh,
my bad.
So August 19th.
Yeah, August 19th.
Would be 20 years since you launched trap music.
Yes, 20 years since we launched trap music. Because I feel like trap music is nothing that one person can really, really, can own individually. It's a collective effort, because in order for it to remain successful and have the relevance that it does today, it has to be related to by so many people who share the experience that comes from, you know, being a refugee from the war on drugs. I think everyone, you know, directly and indirectly has been affected by the crack era, the war on drugs, the opioid epidemic, you know what I mean? I think we all share in that experience together. And the nuances of that experience, the life lessons, I think the pitfalls, the epiphanies, and all of those things that come from it, it's a shared experience, and that's what makes trap music relevant to this day.
20 years ago when you did it, did you know then? Was it even about having that kind of impact? Did you even consider the type of impact you may have 20 years down the road when you started it?
Well, no, I mean, not really. It was really just about memorializing the time that my childhood friends and I spent as teenagers, before I was entering into a new world of entertainment that I was completely unfamiliar with, but it was a dream of mine. So, you know, some people played sports, some people, you know, played in the band. I sold crack, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, regardless of how, you know, negative or dire the circumstances were, they were still the times of my youth. So I was really just memorializing and commemorating the times of my youth. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to get into the nuances and the details of the psyche, the perspective, the lifestyle, the lessons that were learned from it, in a way that I don't think we had ever experienced before the release of trap music.
Very candid. I sold crack. Mm-hmm. You're very open about those experiences.
Sure.
And it's interesting.
I did sell crack. And,
okay.
You know, I did.
Why do you tell people that?
Well, I mean, it's because it's my testimony. Let's say if you're an alcoholic for 20 years of your life, mm-hmm. all right, and let's say you kicked the habit, you became clean. You've been clean for 15 years of your life. Although you've been clean and you've never touched a drop of alcohol, you can still accurately detail the last time that you were intoxicated, all of the lessons you learned from your journey. You can definitely recall the smell of alcohol, the last time you woke up in your own vomit. You can tell about the journey that you've spent, the evolution from an alcoholic to the person that you are living in sobriety today. And just because you're not still drinking doesn't mean that you don't have the right to talk about your experience as an alcoholic. That is your testimony. And the same way that people who have earned the right of sobriety can still talk about their life as an addict and an alcoholic, it's the same way we can still talk about our experiences and selling drugs, because that we earned the right to share that testimony to let people who are still in it, whether they're using or selling, to know that there's a way out and they don't have to think that they're in it alone.
I bring it up because it's interesting, because you talk about that testimony mm-hmm. and sharing that testimony and changing yeah. people's lives. And you're sure. very open about that.
Sure.
You're also somebody who won a presidential, you know, award for your community service and yeah. commitment.
Yeah. Well, the presidents of the United States in some way, shape, form, or fashion have also been connected to the crack era and the war on drugs by way of the Contra scandal. So on and so forth. So, I mean, I don't think that, you know, we could kind of separate the two. We are all, you know, collectively, we relate to the sale of drugs, the use of drugs. It's all a part of our DNA as Americans. So I don't think what place or, like, what position you hold in this great nation of ours, you can never step away from it and think that, you know, you're too far away from the effects of drug use.
But it has to inspire young people, right? To sit back and see,
hopefully,
from there to presidents saying this is somebody who's making a difference in our society.
Absolutely. There are so many people who sold drugs that have gone on to, you know, leave the negative behind and do great things. I mean, there was once a man back in the era of prohibition. There was a man that, you know, found success in selling alcohol. You know, selling alcohol illegally, and had built an empire from it, and built so much of an empire, he earned enough to send his children to the most Ivy League schools, and he impressed education among them. And you know, these guys, they evolved from the family of an illegal alcohol distributor, and you know, went on. From breaking the law to raise children that later on became the president of the United States in the Kennedys. So, you know, the history of America is tethered to people who had to start out in humble beginnings to doing the wrong things, to in turn earn a right and a position to do the right thing later on. And I am no different. You know what I'm saying? I am no different, and there are so many others that share in that experience, and that's what make trap music wonderful, and that's what make America the greatest nation in the world. You can start from something so humble and so meek, and end up in a place so optimistic. I think that's what makes America great.
I respect the humility of I'm no different. I feel like you're different. You've got community foundations. Like you've got, again, I said presidential awards, but you know, the us or
I
else.
I do different things.
You're doing different things. Okay. But what, tell us about some of that stuff, because people know about all of your celebrity stuff, but you've been rebuilding Atlanta. You're starting foundations. Like, why is that kind of stuff so important?
Because I came from a place where, you know, I was once one of the people who was in the position to need the most help in the community. I know what it's like, you know. I know what it's like to need the service of others who live in a more prestigious part of life. So I empathize a different way, you know what I mean? And I have a genuine interest in fulfilling the needs of those who can't do as much as they probably would like to for themselves.
What's Harris Community Works do?
Harris Community Works is an organization where we focus on just what I said, the needs of the community, from mentoring the youth, outreach programs to affordable housing, and you know, all types of ways to stimulate the lives and opportunities and growth of opportunities within the community that need the most help.
Us or else. Just running through stuff that you're doing. But you're taking on a lot of these challenges.
Yeah, us or else is more like a political, kind of a political social service group that identifies stories that impact people that need to have light shined on it. And we just kind of, you know, try to connect the dots for people who are in the position to need help in social service and social injustice, and people who have a genuine interest to provide help for social service and social injustices. And, you know, we've been doing so just kind of out of the goodness of our hearts for, I don't know, a number of years now.
Does it matter to you that people know this kind of stuff about you? Because you've said for a couple times in this interview, you said, I don't care that much.
I wish I mean, I don't know, man. I think it would probably be a little more successful if I cared more.
Cared more what people thought.
Yeah, cared more what people thought. I truly want to do what I feel in my heart is right. And I want to walk the path that I feel God has placed for me in this lifetime. And I don't think the opinions or the criticisms of others going to help or guide me one way or another.
Wanted to talk about a bunch of that stuff. Let's come back as we start to wrap things up to the comedy tour.
Okay.
Again, you got some of the guys, you got people traveling with you.
Yeah,
you
know, the Ha Ha Mafia.
Okay.
They're gonna
come on in, fellas.
Make their way to the stage. The Ha Ha Mafia.
Yes.
Okay. So, fellas, what's going on? This is new to him,
right?
Doing the comedy thing. How has this gone? How are you guys?
It's okay. Success is new to them.
We in there. Yeah. He's been our partner the whole time. I've been doing comedy 22 years, but they were making trap music and all the classic stuff and coming to the comedy club on dates and kicking it, and they were always around comedy. So, it was we were trying to get him to do a comedy a long time ago. So, you know what I'm saying? He's always been funny.
So y'all been cool for a minute. This isn't new.
Certainly, yeah. We've always been cool.
Okay. So how's it going so far? Are you going to tell the truth?
Yeah. No, he got to follow. We trying to kill him on stage. We go up before him. We trying to destroy. It's no letting up. Jay Ski go crazy.
Yeah, we going crazy on stage. He come behind us. He hold his own.
He hold his own behind three. He got K'd up. He's not here right now, but he holds it. He goes and blasts it open anyway as the host. Then I come, then Jackie comes, then Tip comes right after that every night. So it's been he been coming with the heat, because they you can't make somebody laugh, you know, you can't force a laugh,
right?
Okay. So, how has the and you got real initially long time comedians traveling with you,
right?
How's the feedback been from other comedians who are like, yo, come on, man, you got all the money from trap music, got it acting, now you're going to take it in comedy too?
Well, see, yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people think that 16, 17 years of consecutive lack of success would be interrupted by my entrance into the world of comedy. And now me doing comedy is the reason that they haven't you know, fulfill their dreams. And I don't understand it, but I do get that, you know, a lot of people think that other people are in the way of them doing what they want to do in life. Some people have that mindset. It's a crippling mindset. But nobody's stopping you from doing what you would like to do but you. And people who have that fear, and they want to project those fears and failures onto other people. I don't pay much attention to it. I just continue on, man, you know, dropping money out my pocket on stage. You know what I'm saying? And just laughing all the way.
And I'm right there picking it up.
We get to enjoy the trappings of success. It is nice. It is it's nice over here. Y'all better come on in.
It's good work for us, I tell you.
Yeah, but we try to explain to the other comedians, like, he trying to put some light on us, bro. We've been working hard, and he's like, you know, he come with scripts, like, hey, check this out, read this. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, we got the writer's strike going on. There ain't no money coming in right now. We on the road. We out here stripping for real. This is a thing.
Hey, we paying Ronnie to keep it clothed on. You know what I'm saying? Y'all come back, y'all throw dollars on stage for him to keep his clothes on.
Y'all come see me at the Rocky Steps. I will be naked at 12 o'clock today.
With a cheese steak.
Cheese steak. Ha-ha Mafia hat on. Come out to Helium.
Oh, man.
So it's safe to say y'all are just having fun with this.
Yeah, for sure. Man. For sure. That's the most important part.
But you were getting work done, though. He's getting funnier every show, and then we punch up and we fix stuff, and it's like, it's not, we just not playing, it's work too. But it's like, he takes the notes, does them, because some comedians will ask you to write for them, they won't touch any of the notes, they just want you to know that, you know, you look, watching their set. But he's like, oh, okay, I can add that, I can add this. So knowing him helps, you know.
I think the nuance of actually constructing a joke out of a real life situation, to know what the subject, predicate, punchline, timing, all of those types of things. I think once you kind of learn the gist of that process, it becomes easier to replicate.
It feels like you got, in the little bit of time that we've known you, the I don't care that much what people think. Yeah. Seems to be the right mindset for going out there.
It's the only comedy mindset. Yeah. You gotta have that. Mindset,
for real.
And just go up there and do it.
Yeah.
All right. As we wrap up, go down the line. Tell us what they're going to see when they come out and see you guys on tour. I know that you got a movie or something you're working on, but we can't talk about that, right?
Yeah, I don't think we can talk about it. We can't cross the picket line.
Can't
cross
the picket line.
Yeah.
But some,
so y'all come back when we're allowed to talk about that.
Something's coming.
But as it stands right now, we don't have a partner. We do not have a partner. We're completely independent. We haven't accepted. Nobody has paid anything for, you know, us to not be able to talk about it. We just can't talk about who we plan to release it through.
Right.
Okay. If we ever get an opportunity to release it beyond this strike. But it's a independently produced film called Departments that was written, directed, and financed by me, and stars these phenomenal gentlemen and other comedian. My son, King Harris, he is also a star in it. I co-produce it with DC Young Fly, Lil Duval executive produces, Carlos Miller executive produces, a host of other comedians like K-Dub, Erica Dutchess, Tyler Chronicles, Nav Green, Henry Welch, Ernesto, just a host of other comedians that have, you know, I've seen throughout the underground comedy circuit. I've seen them on the rise and on the come up, and I thought that all of these guys and the young ladies deserved an opportunity. So rather than wait on others to afford us this opportunity, and wait on, well, quite frankly, wait on white people to give us permission to tell our stories.
Okay.
We decided that it was time that we came together and do something collectively.
We're gonna have, when we're getting ready to launch this,
yeah,
when it's coming out, y'all come back and talk
about
it.
Oh, we might just put it out on YouTube and you just, you know what I'm saying, watch it on the way. You know what I'm saying?
You see it one way or the other.
Depending on how the strike set up, you know, we're gonna see how we're gonna get it done.
Let's go down the line. You're at Helium in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And then continuing the tour. What are people gonna see when they come out and check you out at Helium?
They're gonna expect to laugh until you pee a little bit. Like when you know how that pee come to the edge, like, you know what? I'm I need to make a choice. You know, that's that's the type of laughter we come with. You know, it's not, you know, I've been in Philly years and years. You know, shout out to South Street. Shout out to all the, bring your cheesecakes, the cheesesteaks to me so I can see. I need to test them out and see which one is the one that represents Philadelphia. All
right. We're going to do that. What you got for
us? Amazing good time. You know what I'm saying? We're going to put on a great show for you from beginning to end. You're really going to enjoy yourself. After the show, we be selling merch. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So we're going to try to get y'all
all
money.
About the money.
Or in the name of trap music, we're going to be selling dubs and dimes and marijuana
all this stuff
in the background. You know what I'm saying? With no marijuana distribution license. We're doing it the old-fashioned way. None of that dispensary stuff.
Brown,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The brown
them mini Manila envelopes. You know what I'm talking about? You know it's old-school weed. We're going to have some seeds in there. You know what I'm saying?
If you want some weed,
come get some vintage weed. Vintage weed.
The host of the show does not necessarily endorse the comments made by all individuals participating.
He has not refused our offers.
I just said for the record.
Do, but I might be over there. I might be close to it.
Right. Is this thing still on? And finally, what are they gonna see when they come check you out?
Hey man, we gonna share the epiphanies that come with pain, man, the lessons that come with making all of the wrong decisions in life, and how you can benefit from doing the wrong thing from time to time. I think that is important for everybody to know. You don't have to be perfect to be successful.
We end the show with the concept, the theme of the show is something called Use Your Voice for Good.
Right.
Seems like your life in a lot of ways, but when you hear Use Your Voice for Good, what does that mean to you?
It means be a voice for those who can't speak for themselves, speak truth to power, and always, man, use the effort and energy that God gave you to do the right thing.
Appreciate you coming in, man.
Right on.
Thank you, fellas.
He will be saying big words at the show if y'all come out.
Indubitably.
They get mad when he don't say a big word. They're like, where the big words and stuff at? What are you coming with that?
Okay,
word?
We weren't going to
exacerbate this point much, you know.
Words are coming,
but
continued success, gentlemen.
Appreciate it. Likewise,
thank
sir.
Appreciate
love.
It, man. The Pulse.
Thanks so much for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson. Today with rapper, hip-hop artist, actor, they even wrote a couple of books, and now on a comedy tour, T.I. Clifford Tip Harris. And in this particular case, those of you listening to the podcast got a whole lot more than actually made it onto TV for some obvious reasons that you are now aware of. We had a good time with them. They shared a lot of information, and I had a lot of fun. I consistently say that, yes, this is a job, this is work, but sitting down and getting a chance to talk to some of the people that you've watched in movies, listened to their music, admired some of their philanthropy and community work, that to me is a whole lot of fun. I enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy the discussions. Do me a favor, look on your screen, your phone, wherever you're listening to this, hit the follow, subscribe, like, whatever button it is that will give you a notification every time a new episode of The Pulse comes out so that you can check them out. Also, head on over to YouTube, search The Pulse with Bill Anderson, and you will see that we have had some amazing guests that I believe that you will sincerely enjoy. And if you want, hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. I am always interested in hearing your thoughts. Until next time, I leave you as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.